Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Jim, you want to get us started here?
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God.
Father, you said, be still and know that I am God.
Yes.
So, Father, right now, we come before you and try and still our minds, Father. We know that really has to be done by the assistance of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So many times we try and quiet ourselves down, Lord. It seems like the racket even gets louder when we sit and just try and still our mind. So even stilling our mind, I believe, Lord, is a process that the Holy Spirit has to help us with, has to calm us down.
Yes.
Has to give us faith and assurance for all those things that we're concerned about. And all of a sudden, as your presence moves in on the scene, we start quietness, the calmness starts coming about us.
Yes.
Even in lieu of all the things that still trouble us, all the problems that we carry through the course of this life, Father, there's just something about your soothing presence, Lord. Knowing, Father, that this is all temporal. Knowing, God, that we have a home in heaven, but heaven is in us too.
Yes.
So, Father, thank you this morning that your word does not come back void, that it will accomplish the mission for which it has been sent. Father, we know that that word is already inside of us. We just have to receive it, Father.
Yes.
You'll confirm it, Father, this morning, as Brother Rich or the voice of many waters and here this morning that share.
Yes.
Father, we'll know the voice of our Father.
Yes.
Praise you,
we'll
Lord.
Know, Lord.
Praise God. Praise
so, Father,
God,
we give
God.
You all the glory and all the
yes,
credit this
Father.
Morning, Father.
Yes.
We just pray that your word made perfect
yes.
in us this morning. In
yes.
Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God.
Just a reminder, please speak up because there's been some, I guess Oscar was saying earlier.
Well, you have to talk loud so that it gets in the mic because otherwise we have dead space in there.
In the mic?
No. She thinks one's enough. You just have to talk up. If you just talk loud, it picks it up.
Mm. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise
yes.
the Lord.
Praise God.
Well, last 2 weeks I wasn't here, and so I can't start in verse 23 without going back to verse 21 because that it all goes together, and we won't spend much time on 21 and 22, but it will set up 23. So without going straight to 23, it won't work. So, Brenda, you want to go ahead and read 21 through 23, and then we'll get a couple different versions because this is some crazy stuff that the Bible's saying here in these three verses. I mean, it's pretty explicit if you take it in the natural, which we're not.
But God shall wound the head of the enemies and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on steel in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan. I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that the foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. That was 21 to 23.
Okay, Julie, you want to read it in the New Living?
Psalm 68, 21 to 23.
Mm-hmm. But God will smash the heads of all of his enemies, crushing the skulls of those who love their guilty ways. The Lord says, I will bring my enemies down from Bashan. I will bring them up from the depths of the sea. You, my people, will wash your feet in their blood, and even your dogs will get their share.
Okay, so needless to say, that's, you know, people say, well, I read the Bible, I don't get anything out of it. Well, I can understand these last three scriptures. I can understand why. You know, God is not a God that's going to physically crush someone's head, just like he's not going to ask you to to cut off your arm if it does something wrong, or ask you to do, you know, all these physical things that it's showing. I mean, you know, I don't know. I didn't get a chance to listen to the other ones, but I'm just going to hit a couple quick things in the 21 and 22, and then we're going to get into 23 heavily. 21 talks about crushing, you know, crushing the heads of the enemies. I mean, why do you think they use the word head? What's the spiritual, you know, what is spiritually about your head? Yeah, your soul, your mind, your will, your intellect, and your emotions. And needless to say, I mean, all we're going to talk about today is, you know, how God wants to get rid of Adam so that Jesus can be revealed. Yes. I mean, that's what it is from Genesis to Revelation, is getting rid of the old man, getting rid of Adam so that Jesus can come forth. And when he comes forth, then God's will for all of our lives is accomplished. So, and then it talks about, you know, I'll bring the enemy back from Bashan. It says, I will bring them. This is the extended Bible. It says, God will crush, shatter his enemies' heads, their hairy skulls, tops of their heads, of those who continue to sin, walk in their guilt. The Lord said, I will bring the enemy back from Bashan, and I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, representing chaos. Then you can stick, says, bathe or shatter your feet in their blood, and your dogs can lick their share. So, you know, when you're looking at all that, you know, it just... You know, we got to break it down, mm-hmm. and find out what he's really saying, because this, you know, in the natural, it doesn't look good, but when you break it down, it looks great, just like a lot of the things that we've discussed in Psalms. But you know, the word Bashan is fruitful and whatever. But one thing I liked about the other definitions of Bashan is it's where half the tribe of Manasseh was. So if he's bringing you back from Bashan, he's going to bring his enemies back. The enemy meaning, in this case, we're talking about the flesh or whatever. You know, but Manasseh means causing to forget. Yeah. So he's wanting us to start walking in this abundant life that he's provided for us and forget about the old man. Forget about all the things that, even in this walk as we are right now, we've got to forget about all that stuff that, you know, so easily besets us and keeps us from the focus on Jesus. And when we keep our focus on Jesus, none of that stuff has a hold on you, you know. And so, I don't know. Some of this stuff, maybe I'm just thinking or whatever, but do you all believe that we were here before your mom and dad, your dad's seed and your mom's egg came together? Do you believe we existed? I do. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I do. I believe that. I see a lot of heads.
You were formed.
Huh?
The scripture says, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I knew you before.
Before. Before you were formed.
And it wasn't just when the... seed and the egg came together, it was even before that, you know. So if that's the case, then it's saying that the you know, I will bring the enemy back from Bashan. The Bible doesn't clearly say what state we were in before we became this body that we have right now, in this situation we're in right now. But what I can tell you is this, that the Lord felt a need for everything to happen exactly the way it has happened, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesus had to die and shed his blood. It had to happen that way. Could not happen any other way. So,
it was already foreordained.
Pardon?
It was already foreordained.
Foreordained, yeah. So, So anyway, so this just shows me, I just see this Basham as, basically bringing us and putting us back into that fruitful place, mm-hmm. back into that place that's fertile, back into that place that, you know, but the one thing we have to do is forget about all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're gonna operate in the fertile land, in the promised land, whatever you want to call that land, we have to forget about what's happened up until today, this second. You know, and when we do, then we can operate in that abundant life. We can operate in the fertile, you know, and it's really interesting because the word Bashan is celebrated for its oak trees. And thank God we're a tree, you know. Mm-hmm. So what is more powerful than an oak tree? What is more majestic than an oak tree? I mean, it's probably one of the, other than a redwood, it's probably one of the, I don't even know. Is it a hardwood, I would think?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. So it can stand the winds and the tornadoes and whatever, you know, whereas some trees are uprooted and laid on its side, an oak tree is going to stand, you know, and mm-hmm. we stand on the rock. And we're not moved, right?
Mm-hmm. Since our roots go down deep.
Our roots go down very deep. Okay, so... So out of that fruitfulness, out of that abundant life, God's going to defeat your enemies. Well, who's your enemies? We've talked about that a million times.
Ourselves.
Huh?
Ourselves.
I mean, it's whatever is keeping us from God mm-hmm. is our enemy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever it is. It could be mm-hmm. a situation, you know, it could be finances. It could be anything. Anything that's troubling us or keeping us from God is an enemy.
Yes, yes.
Okay, we're going to talk about enemies a little bit later on, but that's just want to get that out.
Mitch,
so, yes.
In verse 21, it says, "But God will lead the head of his enemies." That particular verse right there, when we talk about the head, this goes right along with what you're talking about. To me, a head is something of an authority. And it said, God will wound the head or all the authorities that there are over you that are your enemies.
Yes.
And I think of in the garden mm-hmm. where, you know, he'll bruise our foot, but we'll crush his head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think that all goes back to God basically will crush or wound the head of all your enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that has power and authority over you,
mm-hmm.
God says, the battle
yes.
is mine. I
yes.
will crush
mm-hmm.
it. Okay.
That's good. Okay, I wasn't going to go there. I got this stuff we were going to talk about way down here, but let me go ahead and go there. Let's see. Okay, Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Okay, what's the carnal mind? It's anything that your soul is doing that's not lined up with the Spirit. So, and then Ephesians 2:15, Ephesians 2:15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man. So making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Yeah, Calvary. Slain once and for all. Let me read it and expand it. I really like this. It says, he did this, Jesus did this, by ending, I like that word, ending, setting aside, nullifying the law of commandments and rules by giving his own body in his flesh. This phrase may go with the previous sentence. His purpose was to make the two groups of people become one new person. Humanity, person, man, in him and in this way make peace. It was also Christ's purpose to end, you're going to like this, to end, put to death, kill the hatred, hostility, enmity between those two groups. He's going to get it all out of there. It's going to be gone. I mean, you can count on that, take it to the bank, that that flesh is going to be, it was already crucified with Christ. We are crucified with Christ. His death is our death, right?
Yes. So, has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Death. There
made
you go.
Made me free from law and death.
Yes. That's the thing that just death. Makes you want to shout. Mm-hmm. Because death is already defeated.
Not necessarily physical death, although I believe that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When you define the word death, what it really means. Most people think in terms of...
Physical, death. Yeah. Well, he can in that right there. Go ahead. let me just finish this, and then you can go. It says, it was also Christ's purpose to end, put to death, kill the hatred, hostility, enmity between the two groups, to make them one body and to bring them back, reconcile them to God. Christ did all this with his death on the cross, through the cross.
Well,
do you believe that?
Huh?
Do you believe
that? Oh, of course.
Oh, I know you did.
Yeah.
I mean, Isaiah if you said, believe who's that. Believe our report. You know, he took our sins, our sicknesses, our diseases. Who's going to believe our report? Mm-hmm. Who's going to believe? Well, there's coming the people that are going to believe.
Well, when you walk into the hospitals, you walk into the cancer wards, I mean, you know, I can see why people vacillate back and forth. Oh, I believe God's this. But then you walk in, you see all this, and you go, what is going on?
Steve Early.
You know, I mean, a good Christian man that has pancreatic cancer, and God needs a miracle. Steve needs a miracle. God needs to touch him. I mean, that's if he's going to continue to live, you know, because that's the only way it's going to happen.
But you know that miracle did happen 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Somehow we have got to place ourselves in a position where we can see the finished work of Jesus Christ. But God's working it out of us.
But you can
and
see
he is working it out.
But from a human standpoint, it's hard because, you know, even Steve, and he's wavered, and I probably would in his place too, because it's like, you know, he's done this and a good wife and a good person, all this, and then, you know, he's dealing with this. So it is like this.
From a human standpoint.
I'm talking from a
I know,
human standpoint.
I know. It's impossible.
I mean,
from a human standpoint.
I struggle with it every day. We both do. I mean,
sure.
You just cannot understand how did this happen.
But when you read this, this is exactly what the deal is. It says that he's going to put an end to all that. He's already put
right.
an end to it. But, you know, maybe it has to manifest in different situations.
But you have to stay in the Word, what we were talking to Manny about. Well, see, Steve's not staying in the Word, you know, like reading the Bible, and it's just hard. So now he's thinking up here all these...
You know, I told him first thing, stay in the Word.
Yeah.
You know, get headphones and listen to the Word on
yeah.
MP3 or something. You know, just keep the Word going.
Right.
You know, and he's not. So, but anyway, go ahead, Oscar.
Well, the only thing I was going to say, this is backing up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because we were talking about, you know, making of twain of two different men, one new man. And really, I think what Christ is talking about there, what Jesus is talking about there when you get into it, the first Adam was of the earth, but he was a soulish man.
Mm-hmm.
The last Adam was the Lord from heaven, that was
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, and I'm only doing this for clarification, you know, so we kind of understand. I know most people don't understand that. But that's why when you receive Jesus Christ, you say you are born again.
Mm-hmm.
See, you are born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You begin to be born of that second man, that
mm-hmm.
second Adam, not the first Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, and like I say, this is just in case somebody's hearing this that doesn't understand what we're saying here.
Mm-hmm.
But literally what it is that the old man was under the law. He was under the handwriting of ordinances. He was under the law of sin and death. The soul that sinned shall surely die. And that's
mm-hmm.
basically was what the scripture said. And we have to realize that when Jesus took the handwriting of ordinances and nailed it to the cross, basically with him, he
fulfilled it.
He fulfilled it in that he was the lamb without spot or wrinkle who went and died on Calvary, that our sins might be cleansed by the blood, by his blood being poured out. So when we understand that, then, like I say, I'm not saying anybody in here doesn't understand that, but I'm just saying it for clarification. And so when we understand that, then we've been born into that second Adam.
The new creation
and as that new creation man, and he's that he was the hidden man of the heart, which before he was hidden in there, but he was hidden because the soulish man, the natural Adam, had dominion over him, had taken dominion over him, and was and we were, he was moving in the sensual realm all the time, the five senses, and basically what happens. When Jesus Christ did that, he freed us from if we'll follow the leading of the Holy Spirit within us, let the mind of Christ operate within us, then we'll find out that we're walking in newness of life. And like your friend Steve that you're talking about, Steve has to come to realize that we put too much emphasis on this fleshly life. Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Amen.
So Steve will never
Amen.
Die. Now, Steve's flesh might lay down in the ground, but Steve won't die. Mm-mm. Steve will step over into another realm.
Amen.
And be honest with you, Imogene sent me something this week, and I'm just going to share a little bit of what she sent me. She sent me something this week because she's struggling right now because she's having anxiety, you know, a lot of anxiety. She had a pacemaker put in, and she's having anxiety attacks and everything. And she sent me this thing, and literally what it really mounted out to, I'm just going to kind of give you the gist of what it was. It mounted out to the fact that she was talking about, literally about being in submission to God, about someone praying about something over and over and over and over and over, and God not doing it. And she was quoting from Kathleen Marshall's books, you know, and she said that this person, after a while, instead of quoting this thing over and over and over, finally said to the Lord, "Lord, I give up. Whatever you want to do is okay."
Yes.
Then they were healed. Then they were healed.
We try to control.
Now that's you know. We try to impose our will upon God. You can't impose your will upon God. And a lot of times the situation or the circumstance that you're in that situation and you're in that circumstance to really either learn something or to show the grace of God or whatever it is. And so many times we think that, boy, it's got to go the way I think it should go.
Right.
Well, like I say, with Steve, if Steve passes out of this realm, and he's just stepping over into another glorious realm.
That's it. Yes.
So are we going to stand back and say, oh, I'm so sad that Steve's sad?
No.
Yeah, we can say that. We'll miss him in the natural.
Yes.
But what should we really be doing if that happens?
Rejoicing
because he stepped over into his life.
Yes.
So Jesus said, I'm the God of the living and not of the dead.
Yes.
He was talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were all dead in the natural. But what he was saying there, he said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he basically said, I'm a God, he's the God of the living and not the dead.
Yes.
What was he saying? They're alive. They're not dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And we put too much emphasis on this natural life here. And don't get me wrong, I mean, if I get sick enough, I'm probably going to say, Lord, I'm like,
prayers.
But what I'm saying there is that, you know, we basically need to realize that his word is true, and what he declared is that he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Yes.
And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So Steve will never die.
Yes.
Now this old earthly house might get laid down, but the real Steve will step right out of that house,
Yes.
You know. Now a lot of people want to push that off to the resurrection day, but if you know what Jesus said, when he talked to Mary and Martha, they said, well, Lord, we know you'll raise him up in the last day. Mm-hmm. And they need to read that. A lot of the church out there needs to read that. Mm-hmm. He said, I am the resurrection
Amen.
And the life.
Amen.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Yes.
He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he rose Lazarus from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
But Lazarus ain't still here in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
He's in that great cloud of witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So Lazarus eventually, that fleshly body laid back down eventually, or he'd still be here today.
Does it say that he did?
Please?
Didn't say he did.
Nowhere.
No, it doesn't. But you ain't, I ain't ring that thing on the radio nowhere.
Or
I'm sure I can hear from my Lazarus. Because that'd be the greatest witness you could possibly have.
Yes.
Lazarus was still around.
Yeah.
In the natural. You know.
Are you trying to tell us something?
All right, I confess.
You found out how you really are.
I felt like that needed to clarify
some of that, especially as you know, goes out, because some people don't understand. We've talked some pretty heavy things in here. We need to break it down.
I'll probably go in
and
like it's too basic.
Yeah, I will.
I just have so much stuff to get done.
Well, we talk about
Do you have any questions?
Him still living. Look at Elijah and Moses appeared with him and talked with him on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah.
Right.
So they weren't dead.
And what were they a type of? The law and the prophets.
Yes.
That's what they were a type of.
Yes.
But yet they talked with him.
Yes.
But he was in his glorified state.
Yes.
So literally, they weren't in the glorified state he was in. They didn't say anything about their garments shining like light.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they were there.
It will.
Yeah, they will. Yeah, eventually they will.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I can't remember his first name, but Davidson?
Excuse
me. No, Davidson.
Oh, Jay Davidson.
Jay Davidson. Oh. When he was sick and he was and the church went to pray for him. And they wanted to pray for God's healing. He said, you don't pray for God, you pray for God's perfect
will to be done.
Oh, yes.
It's time for me to go, I want to go. You know, I think sometimes people like, God doesn't hold us against this. When we lose, you know, and we get kind of panic stricken, because it's all something we've done. But I can almost hear God sitting next to Steve and say, boy, have I got a surprise like any child who's going into a new situation that you've never been in. You know, it's all okay. If somehow, somewhere down deep inside, you can just find the strength to say, whatever, it's all okay because I believe in God. You're going to be
thankful. Years ago, I was having chest pains. And this was a lot of years ago. And I think I was probably going through a little bit of what imaging. Some anxiety because I had changed jobs and I was under a lot of pressure and things weren't working out the way they were supposed to be working out and promises weren't being kept that were given to me and different things like that. And, you know, I was drinking a lot of coffee and a lot of Cokes, you know, and things. Started having a lot of chest pains. And me and my brother were going to go out. We were invited to go to a golf outing. We went to this golf outing, and I was having all these chest pains while we went to this golf outing. But I went because I didn't want him to not go, because he was invited too. And it was like, you know, twosomes up playing golf, and they had foursomes. So I get out there, and I'm playing golf, and I mean, I'm having these chest pains all the time when I'm out there. And so I come home, and I'm still having chest pains, and I said something to Margaret. So she calls the doctors. Oh, get him up to the hospital, you know. And I reluctantly went, you know, I didn't want to go, and I reluctantly went. I got up there, and they start checking me out, and they start asking me about things, and I'm telling you, I'm having chest pains. I've been having them all day, you know. And the lady says, well, we better start some
EKG.
No, the nitroglycerin. Get you some nitroglycerin. Well, I was way redder than what I am today, because I've been in the sun all day long playing golf. And this was a huge outing that we were out in, so it took a long time. And they gave me nitroglycerin. But anyway, I turned white. I mean, I literally turned white. There was no color in me at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Marta ran up there and told me, oh my God, you're killing me. What are you doing? But they got so mad at me because I told them, I said, look, if I pass away, just let me go.
Yes.
And they said, yes. Well, you're too young for that. You know, started fussing with me. I said, look, I know the Lord. And I said, I'll be fine. I said, if I pass away, you just let me go. Mm-hmm. And man, they fussed with me and carried on and stuff. I said, well, that's the way I feel about it. You know, well, you know, they had already given me the nitroglycerin. They gave me, I guess it was pills, or I don't know if they put it in. They shouldn't start an IV on me, and that's what made me lose that color. But, I mean, they gave me a big shot of nitroglycerin. I didn't actually have a heart attack. It was anxiety.
Yeah.
But I was having a fluttering in my chest, too. But you know, the thing about it is that people of the world can't understand that if you step out of this body, you know, we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have a heavenly body. We have a heavenly body. You know, where we can, if you stepped out of this, if your real man stepped out of here, this thing would fall down in the ground and turn back into a hunk of clay. And you know, and
don't you think that most people in the world really believe that there is life? I believe that most people,
well, I think
whether they know Jesus Christ or not, I believe most people believe that there is existence or whatever.
I think a lot of them fear what they call
death
because they don't know what's going to happen. They've been told all this terrible stuff that they're going to burn in hell forever and everything.
But it says he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So everyone has that sense of destiny or
destiny. That's the measure of faith.
Faith in something, whatever it is.
Yeah, but
something.
If he put it in there, it's faith in him. There's if he put it in there, it's faith in him. Our own faith will fail us.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, it takes someone, I mean, to really, really trust in the Lord to say, okay, Lord, if this is it, then thy will be done. Just like Jesus did. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. And he knew exactly where he was going in the next day or so.
See, that's where that, I think, is James, that perfect law of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty the Lord showed me a long time ago is submission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in the natural, it's just the opposite of that. You know,
wrestle with it.
Well, in the natural, to have liberty, you don't submit to everything, because if you submit to everything, you're not going to have liberty. You're going to be in bondage to people. But God's ways are not our ways. And as we submit to him, what he does is he turns around and gives us the liberty and begins to give us the authority and the inheritance of what we have as we submit. I mean, what does Romans 8 chapter say about the Son of God? What is the Son of God? That's right. They're led by the Spirit. What do you got to do to be led? You got to be in submission.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be led if you ain't
that's
in submission.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Surrender.
Yeah, you got to surrender. And that song, I Surrender All, you know, that's a great song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, that's a hard song to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to say it than it is to do it.
Amen.
Yes.
You know?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this
sometimes it's just a process. I mean, you're surrendering all, but still just walking it out. Process day by day. Yeah.
Well, it's a gradual thing.
Yes.
Yeah. It is.
And you were talking about in the jobs that I've been in, you've had to go CPR, and I've taken it every year for 10, how many years, and then you get clients you're taking care of that have a DNR, and here you're trained to do this, but they have already written out, do not resuscitate.
Mm-hmm.
I have not have been in that situation, because the first thing you're going to want to do is to,
sure,
because you're trained in that, but if they have a DNR, you better not touch them, and they're not, you let them, that's right.
Good point. Well, there's some good news here. In Psalms 37, verse 20, is another one of those verses that when you read it, you wonder what's going on in the natural, but when you break it down, it's so glorious. It says, "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, they shall consume away." So let's read it in the expanded. "But the wicked will die, they'll perish." And that we're not talking about, for anybody that just came in, we're talking about the wicked, meaning the flesh. The wickedness, yes, yes. Not people, but the flesh, you know, anything that's not of God. It says, "The Lord's," this is so beautiful, "the Lord's enemies will be like the beauty," which in parentheses, "the best of the fields." So that's what the Lord's going to do. "Pastures, flowers, or animals, they will disappear, vanishing, they will vanish or in smoke." Now that word fat of the lambs, is valuable, prized, precious, rare, splendid, costly. Now the same word in Hebrew in Psalms 36:7 is the word excellent. "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." So it's all good news. I mean, all this stuff that may read as bad news, there's some good news in there. It says, "The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious." Same word. In those days, there was no open vision. So the word lamb is ram, he lamb, but it also means whirling and dancing. And David danced, same word. David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with linen ephod. So all this is the same word as the fat of the land. And that's where God's bringing all this to. It's a glorious place that God's bringing all this to. And what looks negative in your life, what looks whatever, the things you're struggling with and the things that you're dealing with that just... You just don't know if there's going to be a wonderful resolution to it. There is.
Amen.
There is. It will come to pass, and God will, his will be done.
Yes.
And he says that his plan for you is good.
Yes.
What I love about it is what you've gone through it, and you don't understand it all, and you're like, and after you've gone through it, you're like, oh my goodness. Even though our shallow minds can't understand what's going on, but yet when you go through that valley and you come on top, and you're thinking, and if you think of Christ, like, of course, obviously, the relationship you have with him, it's like, wow, I never saw it that way. Like with my mom dying, say, you know, it's like, oh, this is like, oh my goodness, she's gone through everything. She's going to get out of it. I mean, I was in so much denial that it was just like, what the heck is going on? It's going too fast for me. And then here it is in the end. It was this glorious thing that she was going to have. And it wasn't about Lisa. It was about Christ and my mom being with the Lord. So it's...
You weren't listening earlier, were you? Because basically it's what you're saying is what we just talked about.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's us right here. You said somehow she'll get out of it. She did get out of it. And she sure did.
Yes.
She was glorified.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Amen.
She wasn't ready for it. So.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
It says that we were made, you know, we were subjected to this mindset that we're in time and space. Not willingly. But, you know, we deal with it the way that we can.
Well, I like this word smoke or vapor. You know, the scripture says our life is but a vapor, it vanishes away. I read that differently, you know, this time Vanish means to snatch out of sight, to put out of view, to make unseen. Right. You know, and it's like, you know, our life vanishes away, but Christ's life in us lives forever.
Mm-hmm. The word for life there isn't the word soul.
I don't know. I would think it would be, because that's what the Lord revealed to me. It's the first time I've read this. This is the first time I've read this where I really said, because I always thought when it says our life is but a vapor, it vanishes away, I was thinking the physical life, but I don't see that now. When I read it, it was our soulish life vanishes away,
yes,
but our Christ life lives forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. So get out of here. Mm-hmm. I want that life gone, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's a correlation between the soulish life and the submission. And submission is another word for acceptance of God's will. And that soulish life is that thing in us that wants its way,
yeah,
and is controlled. Mm-hmm. And submission is the opposite of trying to control. It is the letting go and surrendering and resisting. So there's something there about you lose that soulish life,
mm-hmm,
that you gain that eternal life.
Yes. And when we think in terms of eternal, this life is but a vapor.
Mm-hmm.
It's so quick, you know, but the thing of it is that when it vanishes, it's gone. Mm-hmm. It's gone once and for all, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of sight, it says, you know, and that's a good thing. And it just reminded me of Luke 17. It says, when the day arrives, meaning the day of the Lord, and I personally believe any time Jesus is revealed in a significant way, that's the day of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, I believe that when John was writing in Revelation, he says, I was writing on the day of the Lord. Man, he was getting all kinds of revelation of Jesus. That's why the book is called The Revelation of Jesus Christ, and not, I mean, it could be the ending of the world, meaning the flesh, you know, but it's really, that's what you go on bookshelves and there's millions of books on how the world's going to end. Well, that's not what the book of Revelation is all about. So the book of Revelation is Jesus being revealed in us. But it says on the day of the Lord is, or, when the day arrives and you're out working in the yard, don't run to the house to get anything. And if you're out in the field, don't go back to get your coat. And that sounds, why not? Well, remember what happened to Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife? She missed the old life. You know, if I could just be back there in Sodom, you know. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you grasped and cling to life on your terms, which is what we've been talking about, that's the soulish realm. If you're going to grasp on your soulish realm, then you're going to lose it. So it's going to go regardless. You can give it away, or you can hold on to it and it'll be taken away.
And that's where the problems arise from.
Exactly.
That we blame God for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Why are you doing this to me, God?
It says, let's see, if you grasp to your life under your terms, you'll lose your life. But if you let that life go,
yes,
you'll get life on God's terms.
Oh, Lord, hallelujah.
There's no better life than life on God's terms.
Mm.
On that day, two men will be in the same boat fishing. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be working in the same kitchen. One, okay. You know, one in the field, two in the bed. Two men in the bed is what the King James says. Well, you know, if there's two men in the bed, there's already a problem. But anyway, no. Anyway, it says one will be taken and one will be left. Well, the church wants you to believe that the one taken is the good. That's a good thing. That's not what it says. The one that's taken is what we've been talking about this whole hour, and that is that soulish nature will be taken out. The one that's left is Jesus. Jesus is the one that's left.
Yeah.
You could read books on top of books saying that, the one that's taken away will happen during the rapture. That's not what it says. Mm-mm. It doesn't say that. Mm-mm. It says the one that's left is the one. I mean, how good are you going to be if you're flying in the sweet by and by? Who's going to sit there and preach the gospel? You know, so it's just interesting how things can get turned around. Anyway, what it says also, it says, while the circling of the vulture, watch for the circling of the vultures, they'll spot the corpse first, the action will begin around my dead body. Jesus basically saying that, you know, when that happens, when that time comes, because this is Jesus speaking, when that time comes, you'll know it. Because the whole world got set up on its ear. I mean, the whole world changed from that day on. But anyway, any thoughts on that? Did you find that?
No, I didn't find anything.
Okay.
What were you reading that about?
Luke 17, 37, Luke 31, 31 to 37. Okay, so while you're still looking that up, anybody have anything to say before we go into
Thing 31 chapters of Luke.
No, 17:31. Did I say, I'm sorry, 31?
No, you said Luke 17.
Did I? Okay. Mm-hmm.
31:37.
All right, well, while Oscar's looking that up, let's go back to our verse that we were starting with, the 23rd. It says, you can stick your feet in their blood. Wow. And your dogs can lick and have their share. The word foot or feet is an interesting thing. It's feet of God or whatever. And what that word, you know, when it says anthropomorphic, is ascribing human form and attributes to a being or thing not human. So, in other words, we talk about the hand of God. Okay, does God have a hand? You know, we talk about his feet. We talk about, you know, things, his feathers. I mean, isn't there a thing talking about feathers?
His nostrils.
His nostrils, yeah. So anyway, it also is... you know, whenever they talk about in the Bible, whenever it's talked about your feet, it's usually your walk, mm-hmm. right? In other words, it's how you conduct yourself out there, in here, wherever you go. And the root of that is to go on foot, to spy out, walk along, move the feet. And then the opposite of that would be slander, you know, talebearer and all that. But and it also said to tread upon garments which are to be washed and cleansed from dirt. Okay? So, you know, you can say, well, to teach or lead by the hand. In other words, we're to help people see the Lord. And when they see the Lord, you know, they will, that your foot or your walk is going to bring them to a point where they want to be washed and cleansed from their filth. And that was all part and parcel when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. You know, when you're walking around in sandals, they get pretty dirty. And, you know, when Peter didn't want him to wash his feet because he thought that was demeaning, then he said, wash the whole body, wash it all. And that's what we say. Lord, wash us completely from head to toe. Do you find it yet?
Is this scripture again?
I forgot. What word were you looking up?
Life.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That was Psalms 37.
We were in Psalms 37, yeah. You see. Here it is here. Hang on.
Yeah, Rich, getting back to Jesus washing the feet of the disciples.
Uh-huh.
An outward sign of something, because everything Jesus did on the exterior was always had something to do with the interior. And so you think of him washing
feet. It's in James.
And I think, well, how would that relate to us as New Testament saints?
4:14.
I think that's the reason why it's important to have Sunday schools and what have you, because today is the washing by the water of the Word that washes our feet. Because when you stay in the Word, seek the face of the Lord, there's a cleansing. Every time you get into that Word, or every time you just get quiet with the Lord,
amen.
You close the book, okay, because it's already in you. Just, you know. But, that's why I see this washing by the water of the Word.
And also when you get together and you're sharing,
right.
Together a lot,
right.
And you're aware that there is a washing of the water, and that there's a sharing, and there's a cleansing, and there's a partaking of Him.
Yeah.
As you're sharing together.
And that prepares you to go out and walk in the dirty world.
Yeah.
It is, so.
I love it, too, because when you're, like, usually when I have to drive to work and I have to drive to Covington, and you have that time alone, and Caleb, I don't know what it is about Caleb. Caleb is like scripture in a song, and I love it. And next you know, I'm sitting there bawling. And it's that
and your
time.
Feet wash.
I believe me, because he knows the day I'm going to have.
Yeah.
So I got to get washed before I get filthy, you know, because it's just the frustration of just dealing with people with the IRS. It's just like, oh my goodness, and just dealing with your coworkers and stuff like that. It's like, I have to be washed before I go. And then when I ride the bus, I'm reading Joey's book, and it's just like, oh my goodness, it's being renewed, and it's like, or confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And, been able to, you know, give those books to a couple people that have really already been blessed by her book, and it's like, oh my goodness, give me some more of those books. So, yeah.
Praise God.
And then also it says that we are to be washed in the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it, you know, it's talking about putting our feet in the blood. We need to put our, we need to apply the blood to our feet, our walk. Mm-hmm. We need to apply the blood to our ear so that we can hear His voice.
Mm-hmm.
Our eyes, so we can see.
Amen.
The blood has to be applied to every aspect of our lives. Because when it is, then we'll see Him as He is, and you know what happens then.
Mm-hmm.
We become like Him. So the word dipped, it said dip the feet in the blood, to shake foot in blood. It's the word wound. And in Psalms 68:21, back to that verse ahead, and I've got 23 minutes left on. Okay, it says, but thou shalt wound the head of thy enemies. That's what it's referring to. Thou wentest forth, this is Habakkuk 3:13, thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for the salvation of thine anointed, thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation into the neck. Selah. You know. So, and then Isaiah says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath... Oh, this is Hosea. It says in 6:1, come, let us return to the Lord, for he hath torn, he will heal us. He has smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days...
Mm-hmm.
Will he revive us?
Yes.
In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight, in his presence. So guess what? There's a lot of stuff that we're going to go through. But guess how it ends? Guess how all this is going to come to a resolution, and that is living in his sight.
Yes.
Living in his presence. So whatever you're going through, realize that it's not a permanent situation. It says you're going through it, so you're moving. If you're going through something, through a tunnel, you're moving through that tunnel to the light at the end. So whatever you're going through is not permanent. There will be an ending to it, and it's going to be a glorious ending because we will be in His face and in His presence.
Yes.
I was just going to say that word sight there, looking at face, live in his face.
Yeah.
And scripture says when we see him as he is, we'll be just like him.
Mm-hmm.
When you get in somebody's face, you see him.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. I like how they were talking about, and I, again, just another confirmation about the chafing or shafting. Mm-hmm. And they go weeding out the wheat and it blows. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like chaff.
It's
chaff. Mm-hmm. Chaff. And they're weeding out all of that miscellaneous gook so they can come out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To get the good stuff, the fruit, the grains.
You know, that gook had a purpose in our life for a while.
Yes, it did.
Mm-hmm. It protected the kernel.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's interesting with the tares and the wheat, you know, that the parable. Mm-hmm. If you watch wheat and tares, wheat, once it gets ripe, it bows down. Mm-hmm. The tares stand straight up. Well, back to the blood, you know, it says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. That's a tough one. That's when they all left. A bunch of them left. Because they, you know, and what does that mean? It only means partake of me.
Yes.
Take all you of me you can get. And become, you know, quit doing and start becoming.
They said that was a hard saying.
Huh?
They said that was a hard saying.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. They took off. They said, we don't understand that.
One verse, two verses. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the one that started it. He's the one that will complete
yes.
it.
Yes.
He is Lord.
Amen.
Every single one.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Well, yes. We'll end on that.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Put all that to God.
Happy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. We just thank you.
Thank you.
Whatever stage of development we're in.
Yes, Lord.
We praise you and we thank you for it. Because we know that you began it, you're going to complete it.
Yes, Lord.
Bring us totally and completely.
Thank
face
you.
Face to face with you, that forever we shall live forever in your presence.
Yes, Father.
In Jesus' name.